Welcome to Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now proudly presents to the as a new sponsor, LendingTree. Do you know that depending on where you get your mortgage, you could save $20,000 or more? But 80% of people only get one mortgage offer. And if you just go to your bank, chances are you're getting ripped off. LendingTree does not want that to happen, all right? Rates always go up and down, but regardless of what's happening with rates, you could always get the right offer for you with LendingTree.com. Are you sure you have the best deal? Find out how much you could save today at LendingTree.com/church. That's LendingTree.com/church. LendingTree LLC, NMLS, number 1136. Terms and conditions apply. Also, let me ask you a question. Looking good doesn't need to cost you a fortune. At 5'4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop, all right? You don't have to walk around looking like a mutt all the time. Not with the 5'4 Club. Because you get $120 worth of clothes for $60 a month. But go to 4-5 Club right now and enter promo code Joey. And they'll give you 50% off your first month's package plus a free pair of sunglasses. You'll be looking like a doctor. Again, that's 50% off your first package at the 5-4 Club, spelled F-I-V-E-F-O-U-R, club.com, promo code Joey. Also, onit.com. Give me some love, Lee. Kick that mule, cocksucker. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Monday, July 10th, the Church of What's Happening Now. Eddie Ift, Lee Syatt. Are you fucking kidding me? You could jump out the window at any time right now. If you're in your car, open up that door and just jump out of the car, because I ain't gonna get no better than this, cocksuckers. Here we go. Go, Lee. Here we go. Kick that mule, motherfucker. Hit it! Oh, the Church of What's Happened Now, cocksuckers. Hit it, Lee. For blue, are you fucking kidding me or what? Bust out that fucking number. Here we go. Oh shit. Oh shit. What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? Uncle Joey here, Lee Syatt, my main man Eddie Ift is on the show this evening. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having you on last night. For you people who want to ask. Listen, last night's podcast was fucking hilarious. You know, listen, when people tell you don't touch the edibles, don't touch the edibles, all right? It's like when you go to the zoo, they tell you don't fuck with the lions. When you come to this desk, don't fuck with the edibles unless you have good intentions.
I was so
Paulie Shore found that out the hard way last night. He called this morning, he said he puked, he had to pull over 18 times. It was a fucking nightmare. He puked on his sandals. Good for him.
I was so scared when I came in here.
Nah, this is like a vapor in here.
Because I read... you know, Twitter, you don't see anybody's tweets anymore because you got so many people. All of a sudden, I see a tweet from you that says, RIP Pauly Shore. And I went, oh, fuck, like, Pauly Shore died. Like, and so I start, like, I go over to the news to see what they're going to be saying in the news. And I'm like, oh, Pauly's dead. And I'm like, holy fuck. And then I look at other comedians. I'm like, it hasn't even gotten to the news yet. Like Joey's got the inside track and Pauly died. So then I started thinking, I'm like, I felt really bad because Pauly and I weren't close. We didn't get along. And I'm talking about him like he's dead now. And we didn't get along. And we got in this like argument like years ago. And I remember we got in the argument. This is like 15 years ago. He goes, you're never going to play my mom's comedy club. Ever, ever, ever. And I swear to God, I headlined for the first time the Comedy Store in San Diego this week. It was my first time working there. And I'm thinking, I killed Paulie.
He found out.
Yeah. And he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to Joey Diaz's and die. And I really thought he died. And I said to my wife, I'm like, I think Paulie Shore died. And it was like, and then I just looked at everyone else, and then I saw all your comments and your fans like, oh, don't eat the black stars.
Oh, my God. Poor Paulie. Felicia called this morning. Michael's asking me what happened. She was laughing.
How many? Oh, she thought he died, too?
Yeah, and then she read it, and then she saw some of the comments like you, and she knew what it meant when the red stars got him, you know, the fucking stars.
Oh, did he have red stars or black ones?
Last night, he had a blue one. Oh. Those red ones, the blood ones, we're out of them. We're out of them till next week. Thank God.
The purple ones, yeah.
The purple ones.
I listened to you once, and it was like an education I got on edibles, because I'm not good with them at all. Like, I've had a really, really bad time. It started out good, and I wish it had stayed that way, because I really enjoyed it the first time I did it. Second time, loved it. Third time, maybe the worst 24 hours of my life.
Yeah, it's going to take you in a weird direction.
8 hours, then you gotta
get back on. Then you got to get back on the mule.
Yeah, as a kid, like with alcohol, I would be fucking hugging the bowl, puking, thinking it was never going to end.
I'm a pukey.
But I could get back on the mule the next day. But with weed, it fucked with my head. I thought I went crazy, and I thought I wasn't coming back.
I got a niece that took one of those stars one night and had a Fitbit on it.
Oh, like the exercise thing.
And she saw her heart rate go up to like where it only goes when you work out. Like,
oh, that would make it get even worse.
So she fucking didn't do them for like a year either. She's like, that's terrible. It got in her head. See, once it gets in your head is the problem.
Yeah, it happens to me.
Once it gets in your head, that's the problem. That's what was happening. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
Yesterday I went to the store and I got a Rice Krispie treat. I almost ate it. And I go, I got to go to jiu-jitsu. I take one of those edibles and go to jiu-jitsu. It's not the same. It's a real unpleasant situation when somebody gets on top of you. It's fucking crazy. You know, listen.
Oh, yeah, you get paranoid.
It's really funny about what I'm going to tell you guys, and I've told you 1,000 times, you know. Listen, college, I don't fucking know. I got left back in the 7th grade. I'm not. But anything I do know is because I did it and did it over. You know, like, what was it? Yeah. Yesterday, at the weed store, we were talking about microdot acid. There was an older black woman there that was from Jersey, from East Orange, and she was talking about microdot acid, you know. And I laugh because people send me clips of Joe Rogan and Tom Segura and other comics saying how high my tolerance is. They think you're born with that.
No, I freaked out.
The reason why my tolerance is high is because I've been a dumpster all my life of drugs. I'm ashamed to admit that, but it's the truth.
A drug dumpster?
I've been a drug dumpster all my life.
I'm ashamed that I laughed at it.
Yeah, no. It's the truth. That's just what you get for fucking being an asshole. People laugh at you.
Right? I feel so.
When you're an asshole, people laugh at you. And when you admit you're an asshole, you have to take the laughter for admitting you're a fucking asshole. I'm a garbage dumpster, you know, and I feel bad for Lee, but I'm trying to, when Lee eats these edibles, I'm not trying to fuck with Lee.
A little bit, like 10%.
Listen, man, this podcast is about one thing, not believing the hype.
No, Joey,
I want the listeners never to believe what they're telling you. It's like, well, Lee, tell them, when we go to airports, I don't give a fuck whether I got a coach ticket. I go on the first line ticket, first class line ticket. That's just the way it is.
And by the way, he does this with me or without me, but he does this at 5 a.m., as high as he is right now.
Right now. I get stoned to the gills.
Like he's going
to
break the law.
I tell people, this podcast is about believing in yourself and not believing the bullshit. Okay? Because I look at people, since I was a kid, I've listened to people and I've said, is this guy retarded? Like when I was a kid, my mom had a bar, so there'd be drugs all around. And I'd see people snorting coke. So for years, I'd have to go out and listen to people talk about cocaine, and I never raised my hand. I never said, like, they'd go, what do you know? I don't know nothing. Meanwhile, I'd see people snorting stuff. Then as I got older, you know, I smoked weed, then I snorted that fucking THC crystal, which was angel dust. I did acid for fucking 18 months. I was doing it 5 days a week.
Wow.
You know, I was taking 2 or 3 hits a night, smoking it. You know, we didn't do mushrooms.
How did you smoke acid?
We just put it in the bowl.
And it works?
Yeah, like a little fucking micro dot, put it in the bowl. This kid Vinny Gargiulo taught me fucking second sophomore year. I bumped into 3 a.m. He bought 3 hits and he put one in a pipe. I go, what are you doing?
Smoking. Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
You could do that then. They were just chemicals, you know. Your lungs are shot. God knows what goes into your lungs.
Yeah, how's Vinny today? Is he okay?
He's blinking from time to time. I don't know. I haven't seen him. He's a big time. But it's just funny how, like, I've done everything. So I don't believe people when they go, well, you can't do this. You know, unless I'm like Keith Richards Jr.
Yeah, I think that too. I read about some people, but there are those people that one time and then they'll, you know, like lose it. I just think that there are people, like when I was younger, I could drink anything, everything. I never really got into the drug thing other than smoking a little weed, but I just couldn't do it. And I loved alcohol. I loved it. I wanted to get drunk every day, but I wanted events. I liked events. You know, like, what are we going to do today? Let's go, for a hike in the woods, we'll bring a bottle of Jack Daniels. Let's go to a baseball game. We'll buy beers, and then we'll drink more beers, and we'll do shots. You know, it was always like more, more, more. But I don't know why I stayed away from the drugs.
How old were you when you started drinking?
15.
Now you're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So that's, you got to drink.
It's the culture, yeah. It's the culture. Maybe that's what it was.
How much has Pittsburgh changed the last
so time? Much. In the last, like, 5 years.
Does it break your heart?
Yes and no. Yes
hit,
and no.
Hit me.
It's weird. I'm not a real Pittsburgher. I grew up in the suburbs.
Okay.
And they look at me like, you fucking rich faggot. You know, like, I'm not accepted in Pittsburgh. Do I love Pittsburgh? Yes. Do I have Pittsburgh in me? Like, my dad grew up in Bloomfield. My mom grew up in Squirrel Hill. Like, my whole family was involved in sports in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh sports. But my dad was an insurance salesman, made some money, moved out to the suburbs. Not a lot of money, but, like, enough that 2 cars and a house, you know, kind of thing. Like, and, you know, if you're not a steel worker and you're not, like, from the mill, and they just, even the girls want nothing to do with you. They look at the kids from the suburbs, like, and Pittsburgh has hot, hot, like, lower middle class skanky girls. Like, beautiful. Like, the kind you go, I'm going to get some money someday, and I'm going to come, you know, pull her out of here, because she's prettier than any girl out at any fucking country club anywhere. And you just pop this chick in, and they'll all be like, where the fuck did you find her? And you just dress her. And they're skanky, but they want nothing to do with any guy that doesn't, you know, work in, like, blue collar fucking, you know, guy. And so, you know, I'd go out when I was in my 20s. I'd go to, like, the nightclubs and think, I couldn't go up against those dudes, you know? They're all fucking jacked and you know, they got tickets in the end zone to the Steeler games. it's like two different, it's kind of like, what other city I see is like that? I was just somewhere that's just like that. Is it?
Everyone on the East Coast, that is, it's a certain mentality, and it's a blue-collar mentality. And sometimes I sit here and I go, wow, I would like to quit comedy, excuse me, and at least do 5 years of that lifestyle. Like, there's times I'm out of my mind. That
of the blue-collar lifestyle?
You know, I think of my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law works 70 hours a week, double shifts, you know. To support 2 kids, a house, you know, he works fucking constantly. And I can't, I always, whenever I feel down on comedy or down on what's going on, I think of him.
Yeah.
And I think of the decision I made, you know, to pursue this and stick with it. And now my family's eating, you know, for 10 years we ate, but we ate weird and now we're eating, you know, and this is ups and downs and it's based on belief. But it's so weird that there's times I love thinking. I love getting high at night and thinking about my life, what could have happened, what could have been, what the difference is. And I'm kind of mad at myself.
Why?
A little bit, but not really. I'm mad at myself for leaving at times. Like, I see my buddies now, like, on Facebook, there's 12 of them at a fucking golf tournament. Why play golf? I wouldn't fucking play golf if you fucking paid
me. So boring.
You know, that's the community I came from. Here, you're a comic, but I don't even see comedians in my weekly journey unless it's at the comedy store. You know what I'm saying? It was a different type of friendship, those suburb friendships.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
That's so 20% of me, I'm like, Jesus Christ, right now I could have been living in North Bergen. I could have been maybe making 75 grand a year, you know. You take one vacation to Miami.
Yeah.
You take one big vacation to AC. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it. We got to go to AC and eat some crab legs. Right, honey? Yeah. We're living like doctors.
I love how Miami's just a little vacation, but AC's the big one.
You get the white shoes out. You tip a little extra, you know. That's your whole year. Like, you save up for that. Like, I was watching The Honeymooners last night. And they were part of the Raccoons, and they go to a raccoon convention once a year.
I'm jealous of those people.
I'm jealous of them for sure. There's an attraction to that lifestyle that at times I go, what the fuck did I do? What the fuck? Look at these people. I talk to people with no souls. People who just go from train to train to train until they find the red fucking train. Then when that train crashes, they find another 28-year-old, and they wrangle 10 of those guys, and they start all over again. And they do that three times in their lifetime. I'm talking about agents and managers and the whole fucking thing. You know, you could be here for 30 years, not sell a ticket, and be the funniest guy in the world, sell three tickets, and all of a sudden they all love you.
I know.
They're jumping out of the woodwork. So
they're not comedy clubs anymore. They're popular clubs.
They're popular clubs. I miss all those little things. Like this time, I sit there and go, Jesus Christ. You know, I never went to none of my high school reunions, you know. Lee's has been talking lately about going to his 10-year reunion.
It sucks. Don't go.
See, in here...
The ticket's $700 fucking dollars.
What? No, to go back to Boston.
$600 for the plane ticket.
It's not worth it.
$600 to Boston.
Thanksgiving weekend.
He kills it two birds with one stone. He sees his mom.
Oh, do it for mom. Do it for mom. Listen, my mom's
just... But I'll tell you what. I thought about it, Lee. And I got to tell you something. If you go there and look around, you might just be depressed.
Why take the chance? Lee, let me tell you, I went to my high school reunion, and I was really excited. And it was like my 20th or something. And I was so excited. I was like, this is fucking amazing. I'm going to see. And I'm still keeping in touch with a lot of my friends. So we were all talking about, we were all looking forward to it. The night before our high school reunion, my one friend had a party at her house. And it was just like high school. People were drinking beer bongs. People were doing keg stands. It just got fucking like, it was just like high school. And we were having the best time. We were all fucking making fun of each other like we did. And, you know, giving Pete Ream a wedgie or whatever it was. And we had the best time. And then we're like, all right, tomorrow is the big night. And we went to this pool and we all swam the next day and had a barbecue. We were all together, all my friends. And then we went to the reunion where the whole school comes. And it sucked because I was around a bunch of people that I didn't want to be around. And all my friends that I was with the day of and the night before, I was like, hey, we should get out of here and go back to like so-and-so's house, you know, and we'll party. And it was like high school again. You're in your little clique. You got your group of friends, their group. Everybody went off in their group of friends and you realize I never liked you in high school.
That's why I moved out of this fucking neighborhood.
I don't fucking like you here. I got my friends. So I said to all my friends, why did we even fucking go to that thing and pay? We should have just had a party and hung out.
Yeah, you know what? I had like one really good friend through high school.
Then call him and go see him.
Yeah, and I should go not for Thanksgiving. Because I don't want to be a bummer. But when I say bully, I don't want to. It's not like the kids now who are killing themselves, it wasn't like that. But I just never really felt like I fit in. I don't know. Like I always wanted to go to those parties, and I don't know. Like I was chubby, so like people were like I could make people laugh, but it wasn't. I never really felt like. But then I'm an idiot. Like I would sit at home some weekends, and be like, no one's calling me to hang out, and I wouldn't call anyone to hang out. So I'm like, maybe you should just call someone stupid, but. Like, part of me thinking of going back is, like, why, like, I don't keep in touch with any of them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we were best friends 10 years ago. So maybe I should just call that one guy and be like, yeah, let's just go hang out for a weekend.
That's my philosophy in this business.
It's a much better idea.
There's so many clicks and people won't let you in. I just go like this. Go where you're wanted. Go away from where you're not wanted. Like,
right, yeah.
People that don't like you are just never going to help you or do anything with you or create anything. But... So just work with the people who do.
It's funny how when I go to Pittsburgh, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the people.
They Food's got good,
good Chinese food, good Chinese food delivery. When I used to work, the fucking Funny Bone for the creepy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, the Panic guy. Brothers.
Yeah, Panic Brothers. They finally closed up and they're done?
I was right there when it was happening. I was involved in it. It was terrible. Like, I was one of the last locals to pull the plug on them and go over to the improv, and he held it against me. And they had me come up. It's the first club I ever worked, open mic, first club I ever stepped in, 1996. And Jeff and Keith Schneider. And I liked the guys, but he was mad when I went over the improv, but they just, you know, he wouldn't ever up my money, and I felt bad. I felt bad because I liked that club. Look, I like the improvs. I worked for a lot of them, but that Funny Bone was kind of cool. It was around forever, and
it was really cool. The first weekend that I worked up there was really cool. Then I went back.
Did you work which room did you work? The balcony one?
I don't know. The one before he closed.
Was it by the incline?
2005.
Oh, no. Then you were at the new one.
2006. And like 2008.
That was a big room then.
Okay, so 2005, I went out to the Longest Yard, and it was cool. Then a year later, he called me again, and I went back. This time, I took a red eye. It sucked dick.
Yeah.
That sucked dick. A red eye connection to Pittsburgh.
Oh.
That's all there was then.
Oh, and you were living out here. Yeah, holy shit.
Oh, it sucked dick. And I took a fucking edible from the Kush Mart. They used to have a 250 milligram brownie.
Can you please keep me up, because I don't get the milligrams.
The milligram, 250 at that time in 2008, that was fucking dangerous. Like, and now it's nothing.
How many milligrams would you get smoking one joint?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know
shit. No. I don't know nothing. But I know that a guy like you, if you eat 10 milligrams, you're going to feel it.
Really?
And then you'll work yourself up through time, you know?
Yeah.
You're a thin guy. There's no fat on you. That's why they only sell 10 milligram doses at these places.
Okay.
Because that's what you can handle. 10.
How many milligrams do you think you had before we started the show?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Who the fuck? Who's counting?
I gotta know. I have.
You saw me. There was one ball that was four of them that tasted like ass. Tasted like blue ass.
It looked like the end of a movie.
And I didn't know what I could do, Lee. I was like caught like this, like, and I just said, fucking go for the swallow. And there had to be four or five in that chunk. And then I blew like chunks of threes, like two of those things. It's nothing.
I think we're close to 2,000.
Yeah,
right?
We're close.
Wow.
But now for a
and I could do 10.
You could do 10. Now, at that time there, I ate the whole brownie like a fucking Gavone, and my leg wouldn't stop. There's sometimes edibles backfire.
Sometimes.
If I've been on 200 flights, they've backfired four times.
Oh,
Miami once. Pittsburgh once.
That's where I had a bad experience on a plane.
Chicago one time on the way back from Midway on a plane on edible. Yeah, 200 flights, three experiences that I remember that were a little kumsi kumsa. This last time I put a song on, this is the weirdest anxiety attack I ever got. This was maybe 4 weeks ago.
Oh, this just happened.
This is the last one that just happened. That wasn't a bad one, and I handled it fucking beautifully. I handled it beautifully. The one freak out was the sweaty one on Ordway when I weighed about 380. I ate the whole pack of the fucking stickers, and on the way back, it's when Southwest had the chairs that faced each other. So I'm across from like three grandmothers. I'm sweating profusely. I finally just take off my shirt. That was the first time with Gabriel and Martine Moreno. Then there was another time on the way to Miami on a red eye, I freaked. That time I fucking got off the plane, I went to get the ride, and I went to pull my pants up. 2 inches of my pants were drenched in sweat.
Was that the cinnamon candy one?
That's when I ate the edibles, and they had a whole pack of cinnamon certs, and the cinnamon must have ignited something. There was this gay guy next to me, like leopard goggles, with a blanket. I'm sitting there at 4 in the morning, no shirt on, with the blanket up to here.
I love that you take your shirt off. I would be taking pictures of you.
No, listen, if you upgrade me on a first class ticket, I'm taking my shit. That's my fucking motto, right?
You're like Bert Kreischer, but on planes?
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
So two times I took my shirt off. That was three times I freaked out. The time with the tits, the time of that one. And the time to Pittsburgh was the red eye. The last 2 hours of that flight, my leg wouldn't stop tapping. After about 30 minutes, I was ready to ring the bell and tell you got to get me off this flight. My leg won't stop tapping. I didn't have the balls to ring the bell. Finally, we landed, and I walked with a limp. Like, my leg went dead. Something happened with the fucking edible. But then about 4 weeks ago, I took a plane with somebody. Who the fuck did I take the plane with? I took the plane with somebody. We sat apart on Southwest, and I told my wife to download some music for me. I gave her a list. I went through a bunch of albums I hadn't heard. And there was this one particular album that I used to listen to every night with a friend of mine. We would be driving around snorting. And it was 1983, and we listened to it. He was heartbroken over a bitch. I was heartbroken over a bitch. I knew I was leaving New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I was just waiting to rob the right person.
Yeah.
That's all I was waiting on, was the right drug choice, the right drug dealer. And I got a hold of a loan shark. He fucking served the purpose. I got him for a couple grand. I got this other guy for a couple grand. And we just listened to this song. And that day, I got on Southwest. Well, as soon as I sat down, the edibles started hitting me. And I'm like, let me put my earphones on. I put the fucking earphones on, and I put this album on. And I'm just listening to this album from 1983, freeform. Like, I just put it on, and wherever it song, I forgot what songs were on it. I forgot everything. By like the fifth song, it was a song that just took me. Eddie Epps, it just took my anxiety to a different level. Like, I must have had something at stake with this song. Like, yeah, something.
It triggered something.
It fucking triggered me on this plane so much. I had to take the earphones and throw them off me. And I looked for the fucking stewardess. I was breathing heavy. I asked her for a fucking water, and I popped a fucking Xanax.
Does Xanax help? Really?
Not really. Those things don't do dick for me. Those 2.5s, I got to eat like six of them.
I got on a plane once. I did a gig one night, and it was in Australia. It's my first trip ever. I go to Australia a lot. And I think my first time I ever went was like around like 2005 or something. Maybe 2005. And I went over to do a show, and I went to this small town called Adelaide. And they said, the first night I went, and it was awesome. The crowd was great, and everybody was laughing, and it was really fun, and I partied with everyone. And then they said, you're here for 3 nights. And we went to another gig the next night, and I look around, and the audience is all the same people that was at the first show. And I go, this is kind of weird. You know, it's the whole, all the same people. I partied with them all last night. And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, I got another hour in me. You know, I can do two. So I just did an hour. I was like, okay. And they were big into weed in Adelaide. They love their weed, and they're proud of their weed. I go the third night, same fucking people. And I don't have more than 2 hours of material at that time.
I got to do like a mix.
And I go, fuck, what am I going to do? And I'm watching all the comics, the openers go up, and I'm like, I'm out of shit. These are all the same people. I can't do my same act. It's weird. So this girl had she makes pot brownies. Her name's Fred. She wouldn't care if I told her name. She's famous for them. She gets everybody sick on them. They eat too much. They get sick. If you ever go to Adelaide, I'll hook you up with Fred or London. She lives in both. But she makes these pot cookies, these pot brownies. I forget if it was a cookie. So, we're sitting in the audience, and I look at her, and I go, give me the cookie. And she goes, no fucking way. The booker will kill me. I'll be fine. Just give me the cookie, because all I'm hoping is it'll get me so high.
You just go off.
I'll go, off, and, go off, and I'll have a whole new bunch of material. So I eat the cookie, and I start fucking laughing like I've never laughed. And these comics are on stage, and they're shushing me. Because I'm laughing so hard. I'm like, this is hilarious. This is the... And I've got a friend down there. This guy named Big Al. When he laughs, you laugh. He's got that laugh. You know, that laugh that just... No one has... He's real big dude, like fat dude. And he has a high-pitched laugh. And when he goes...
It's contagious, yeah.
So I'm losing it. And then I went on stage, and I did like 3 hours. And I got off stage, and I go, how's the show? And they're like, it was good. And I'm like, how long did I do? And they're like, 3 hours. And I go, it was good. I go, did I do, it was all kind of original shit, wasn't it? And they go, yeah, you talked about them, like some Razor, like a Mach 3 turbo or something. They go, you talked about it for like an hour.
Yeah, that's what
you
do.
They go, we don't even have that Razor.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I take edibles and go on stage, on the road where it matters, it's like me going on stage years ago. It's a 50-50 shot. But one thing always stays clear. Your relaxation level's really good until the panic.
Until the panic attack starts.
Well, no. There's this weird thing that you just get it when you feel the edible creeping on. It's when you do acid, when you do any drug like that, not like coke. Coke hits you right away. H hits you right away. It's like when you do ecstasy or do some type of acid and you're waiting for it to hit you. When it hits you for those first 2 minutes, you know you're there. And that's what happens to me sometimes on stage. When you hit the stage, it does something completely different to the edible because the lights hit you. And you have eyeballs looking at you. So that fear mixes with the adrenaline. And it could either go one way or it could either go a different direction. I've gone on stage on mushrooms one time.
Oh, God.
And that was pretty good. Cocaine, that don't work for nobody. Even the after effect of cocaine.
Because it throws your timing off?
Throws your timing off. It takes your soul away. So you can't put your material into your heart. You're a mannequin. You're just a mannequin with a tape recorder.
Okay.
And you feel it on stage.
But I think, and I don't have any experience with it, but I would think what I've heard is it gives you this fake confidence. And sometimes I feel like my issue on stage is like, sometimes I'm fully confident and then other times I analyze the audience too much, right, and
that's what'll kill you.
And I'll go, that, you know, she's an older woman and this is just...
No, you're dead. Yeah. I used to do that for years. Yeah. That'll kill you.
Yeah. And so I feel like with cocaine, I would get up there and just be like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. This is what I find funny, and I'm going to do it right now.
No.
Really?
It was a really bad experience. Listen, I'm not good at two things. I'm not good at talking when I'm on cocaine, and I'm not good with alcohol. If I have a drink, like I'm not a fighter or an arguer or one of those guys, I'm just not good. Like if I'm driving a car and I have one beer, and it's been 2 hours ago and a cop pulls me over, I'll lose it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Because I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I know myself I should not drink and drive. So my guilt, that's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
I drank 2 beers a night in Vegas this weekend. That's like, I told my wife, that's like a world record.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. I'm lying to you. The one night I drank a beer and a half, that's still a world record for me. Anything after a beer is a world record for me. The one night I left this much at the... At the card, when we were playing cards, I put the beer down. I forgot it was warm. That's the only reason why I left 3 inches.
I'm not proud of it, but probably from the age of 16 till maybe 32, 33, I was a hardcore drunk driver. And I'm not proud of it at all. But I did it like, I don't know why. I didn't think there was any chance of failure.
Blackouts, anything
like that? No, I always felt fully under control to the point of like, and it's not true, but I felt better, like I was switched on, like I was like, and no accidents, no anything, thank God, you know. And I think it's terrible because I could have killed somebody, but I do feel like it had a different effect on me. Now I don't do it, and I can't do it because I have 2 drinks and I want to take a nap, and when I'm driving home sober, I'm falling asleep. So, on alcohol, I'm like, don't get me near a car. I've slept in my... I went out with the tell one night. I ended up sleeping in the back of my car in front of the improv. They found me in the morning. Like, I wouldn't drive. This was like years ago before tell quit. And I just won't do it now. I don't drunk drive.
I just never, ever... It scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And I saw the effect of it.
You can kill somebody too easy.
And then I saw how fucked up they got towards it. Like at one time, not that they were lenient towards drunk driving, right, but it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
Now it's a fucking issue.
It's an issue.
You got to ride a bus for 6 months.
Yeah.
You got to get special insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to take classes. Yeah. They'll put a fucking
funnel. You go to jail.
They'll put you in jail. You got to put a funnel in your car and breathe through it just in case fucking something happens. I mean, it really, really is. Like, I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Did you ever hear the Jim Florentine joke about it?
No.
Jim has a joke about how the old days you used to get pulled over for drinking and driving. And the cops would be like, get in the back, we'll drive you home. Yeah, and yeah. then you'd be like, can you pick up another six pack on the way home? And the cops would be like, all right.
It was, let me tell you something, in the fucking late 70s and 80s where there was a, it started to become aware, like in the late 70s, 79, 80, there weren't ads yet, but people were talking. You know, three kids got drunk on the prom,
yeah.
got killed.
And yeah.
So people started talking, and I saw an accident one night, and then I just knew there was something about it that didn't, yeah. it didn't work for me. Like, yeah. it just didn't work for me, drunk driving. And then I saw what they laid on people. And it's not worth it.
I just saw the fines, and it just somebody yeah, told me fines. Like, somebody told me California, I think a DUI is like gonna end up costing you like $20,000 or something. That's said and done, and I was like, I don't want to fucking pay $20,000 for anything.
No, I don't have weed in my car. I'm a pothead.
Yeah,
I don't have weed in my car. I don't smoke weed in my car, and I don't fucking like when I go to the store during the week at night. I don't fucking do edibles. Like yeah. I just drive down there.
Yeah.
I don't drink when I'm there. When I'm down there, sometimes I'll smoke a joint.
Yeah.
But besides that, by 6 o'clock, I'm done for the night. I do this for the podcast because Lee and I get high. But no, when I'm driving at night, no. Because I can't lose my driving right.
Yeah. And it fucks you up.
Yeah.
There's so many things that people don't realize. Like, you can't leave the country. Some countries won't let you in if you have that on your record. Or there's weird kind of shit. And I just... Like, especially when I'm in other countries, never, ever. I went to the Middle East to do shows. We were doing Dubai, and we left the venue with beers in our hands out to the van. We got a call the next day, like, don't ever fucking do that again. You were just drinking in public in the Middle East. Like, that will get you thrown in prison. We're like, really? They were like, yeah, and you swore around women. We had a woman, like, guide that was taking us around, and apparently she, like, informed on us for cursing. I'm like, these guys put a hijab on your head and throw rocks at you. We say a couple swear words and we're going to prison.
I gotta tell you something, guys, I'm not into that traveling shit across borders.
Yeah.
I'm petrified.
It is terrifying. It is. Less and less do I want to do
Look
it.
Look at this fucking kid from North Korea. Came back retarded.
Yeah.
You know what they did to that white kid? And the Koreans are 20 years ahead of time. They sent the guy over. They knew he was going to die in 3 days. They put like a time bomb on him. The kid was dead when he walked off the yeah. plane. Did you yeah. see him? He was walking half dead.
He, had like he didn't even walk. He was in a coma.
Yeah. He had like a battery.
What did he do wrong? Was he stealing signs or something?
He ripped the poster.
Yeah.
That's
poster.
What they said.
At the
yeah.
hotel. You know.
Who even
listen,
knows?
Listen, bro. You and I both know. That as kids, we all did stupid yeah, shit like that at a hotel. To get 15 years, well, they don't even talk English. You can't. You're away from your whole fucking family.
Yeah, but why did he go there?
Who the fuck cares? You know these fucking people? Because everybody has to be international. Everybody has to be cool. Everybody has to see something. Everybody has to fucking do something. You know, that's why. And he went over and he fucked around at the wrong place. And they gave him 15 years.
And
you know,
and it's hard because you don't. When you go to a country, they don't tell you shit. No one ever tells you anything.
No, they tell you about North Korea. That's like
yeah. But
that's why.
But even there,
he was one of those dudes.
I got invited. My friend was running a marathon there, and
Korea.
Yeah, North Korea.
Fuck
they
that.
Opened it up. Yeah, and they let Americans come in and do it. And I went, you're out of your fucking mind. There's no way. I was in India doing stand up, and after I did my first show, the comics all came up. Oh, you're so crazy. You're so daring. I go, no, I'm not. Like, nobody thinks I'm that in America. So they go, oh, you said some stuff, and I was like, what? They're like, we have an offense law here. If you offended anyone in the audience, they can go tell the police and they arrest you. And I was like, I got to get the fuck out of this country as soon as possible. Like, I don't want anything to do with this shit.
You don't know these things.
And yeah.
You don't know these things.
You never, like, I was in one country and I was thinking about my computer. They open up people's computers. Look, I'm like, oh my God, I think pornography is illegal here. I probably have porn all over my fucking laptop if they check my cash. And I'm going to go to prison. Like, if they... Like, you just don't know what you can and can't do. In Dubai, I was at a party, people were doing cocaine, and I heard you get 17 years in prison for just having it in your system, not even having it on you. And I just said to the three other comedians, I go, we got to get the fuck out of here right now.
I don't like fucking around in those places. I don't like fucking around nowhere where I don't know the fucking rules.
Yeah, it's scary.
All right, I don't get the whole... you know, it's like I don't have a passport, and part of me is depressed, but the other part of me is like I'm good with it.
You know what? Good. I feel like you used to go see things because you wanted to experience them, but now the world's so global, you can go on Google Images, see anything you wanted to see, and then see 10,000 pictures that people have taken of it or videos, and it's like, okay. Like, we were in India. They're like, you want to go to the Taj Mahal? I'm like, oh, yeah, we should go see it. They're like, it's like 4 hours away. I'm like, I'll just check it out on Google Images.
There's certain things you can't pass up. Like, there's certain things that I would love to fucking see. Like, the wall, the underground thing in Israel where you write the notes and put them in the wall.
It's not underground.
Pray. Whatever the fuck it is. I like to go to Cuba. I like to go to Ireland.
Can't go to Cuba now. They're fucking that up.
No, they're fucking that up. I like to go to Ireland. I like to go to a few fucking places. Australia, I got dear friends. Australia's a great place to fucking go down there. I got dear friends.
You do great there. They love you there.
The problem is that flight. Oh. See, those flights, you got to take 10. You got to take a stop. You got to eat 10 of these fucking things. So you wake up and they're like, you're here. You're here. You didn't eat a meal in 3 days. Good.
I ate that girl that gave me the pot cookie in Australia. When I was going from Adelaide back to Sydney. It's only like a 2-hour flight. And she goes, I go, hey, I'd only eaten half the night before, which was smart. I said, give me the other half. I want to eat the other half. And she's like, well, I go, I think the plane flight will be fun. I just, okay. She goes, it's probably going to hit you when you land, though. It's only like a 2-hour flight. It's not going to digest. I went, I ate it. And Australia, you only have to be at the airport like a half hour before you get on a flight. They're civil and normal and human. They got 2 doors on the plane. So you enter the front and back half the time. They don't keep you like a caged rat. So I'm sitting on the plane. I've got the aisle. Wait, I think I got the aisle seat. Yeah, I got the aisle. And, oh, no. I got the window. Mother and son, the aisle in the middle. The son is retarded. Like, really retarded.
Okay, the real deal.
And but I'm walking down the jetway from the airport down to my plane, and she told me it'd hit me when I land. My legs just started to feel like rubber bands.
Oh, no.
Like, I was just like, oh, my God, it's coming. Here it comes. So I got my seat, and I thought, I'm going to sit down. I'll get through this, no problem. And then I started feeling like I had to pee so bad. And this kid sits down with his mom, and I look over at him, and I just don't handle it well. I'm like, he's retarded, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to say anything disparaging about people with mental illness, but it just.
It was too much for me.
It's too much. When I was high and I looked
at him. And then you're painting yourself in a fucking corner in more ways than one.
So I couldn't get out.
You can't get the fuck out.
I couldn't get out of the seat. And his mother, about halfway through, I was like, I got to go pee. I got to go pee.
Listen, that seat gives me anxiety.
Yeah. His mother started feeding him. She gave him a sandwich.
Oh, no.
And you know how they say that like some retarded people have like a sixth sense? I swear to God, this kid knew I was high. And he knew that I needed to get out of that seat. And she gave him a sandwich to eat. And he didn't eat it bite by bite. He was picking crumbs off of it and like putting them on his tongue and just like looking at me, just like he was. Because I couldn't conjure up, I couldn't ask them to move, but I needed to get out so badly. And I'm in my head, I'm like, as soon as he finishes. As soon as he finishes his sandwich, because I don't want to disrupt his meal, I'll get out, I'll go to the bathroom. And he was just looking at me like,
nah, fuck.
And time stood still. And when the flight attendant said this to me, I remember, I took, you know, the safety card, I wrapped it around my head so that I couldn't see him. And I just sat there like this. And the flight attendant came up and tapped me and said, are you okay? And I was like, I wonder if she knows.
No.
So I was so hungry when I got off the plane. I ran to McDonald's. Swear to God, the girl at the counter goes, are you okay? Like, I must have looked like.
You're pale.
I was through the
wall. Yeah, because
he was just. It was like he had special powers. And he was just. He looked me right in the eyes and was like, I'm going to destroy you.
It's different on a plane.
It gets you
super high. And like the first time he did it to me, or he gave it to me, I was convinced that the stewardess forgot to like come to my aisle for food, and I was crazy hungry, because of course we take edibles at 4 a.m, but we don't stop. Now we stop for breakfast. If it's open, we stop for breakfast now. The burger, the egg burger. But that morning, I don't think it was open. I think it was like the first flight out that morning and nothing was open.
Do edibles go good with food? Because when the third time, my really bad time, I was eating these cookies. You got to get them. They're biscuits. They're Australian biscuits called a Tim Tams. And it was my first night ever having them. It's a chocolate biscuit with a, it's like a biscuit with a chocolate coating. You bite off the ends. And if you're drinking coffee, you use it like a straw. And the hot coffee comes up. It melts in your hand. And you got to like smash it in your mouth. And it's the... I'm telling you, it's one of the, it's like the ninth wonder of the world. If you have a, it's called a Tim Tam Slam when you do it with coffee, and they just started selling them in America. It's heavenly. So I'm doing this. I'd eaten half a pot cookie, and I start doing Tim Tams, and I'm like, I mean, you're supposed to have like two, like they're like coffee biscuit. I've eaten an entire package. And the girls told me that the sugar probably like made the pot go quicker. They're like, you activated your system.
That's what happens with desserts.
So I walked, I stood up, I felt good sitting, and I looked at the girls, and I knew, I turned around and I just went, make it stop. Make it stop. Whatever has happened, like whatever is in this, you gotta make it stop right now. And they're like, we can't. And I was like, how long is this gonna last? And they go,
forever.
Could, yeah. Forever. And I went,
Tomorrow.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened. It was till tomorrow.
Well, they're weird, man. But I tell you what, I enjoy that people eating them in contrast to heavy stuff. Like I saw those, the data that came out like 3 weeks ago on CNN. CNN fucking put these numbers up.
CNN likes drugs.
And they were talking about fucking how the states that have medical marijuana, there's less opioid emergencies.
Oh, really? Good.
Shit like that. Emergency room visits. So... who the fuck knows? You're going to hit me with some Tony Bennett. You're going to sit there like, move the law. You forgot it's Monday, cocksucker. See, you had it all lined up, see?
I never forget about Tony Bennett. How dare you?
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart.
Put that thing away. We already had enough of those.
As I,
the last two.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Oh, don't put them next to your nose.
Do they taste good?
Like fucking heaven, like those Tam Tams. Like heaven.
They're really good.
Did you see how it stuck to the computer? Well, it sticks like Spider-Man's foot. That's when you know you're in for a long fucking night. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god.
Let me give some shout outs here real quick. Oh,
what,
shit.
What do they taste like?
These are actually a really good flavor. These are the sour blue ones.
These are good.
Yeah, these are real delicious.
Like a gummy bear kind of.
Yeah.
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 Cracker, CJ2501, Raisin, Leslie, Cap, oh no, 4-3, Jeep, thanks for coming to Vegas, cocksucker, Brad Ebert, Brian Romero, JRV, and Krista Finnegan, you sexy bitch. Anyway, sorry about that.
No, it's nice. Breather. It's nice that you do that to your fans, too.
Let these motherfuckers know they're not fans, they're family at this point. We've been doing this fucking shit for so long.
I feel like the same thing. Like,
yeah, no,
I've had fans, I shouldn't call them fans. I used to call them shitheads when it was talking shit, yeah. And now it's the Bingle Show, it's Bingleberries. They have done so much for me, and so many guys have like really helped out that they're now my buddies. Like, they come over to my house. And I know some people think that's weird, but it's like we all, by talking on this format, you find people that are totally into what you're into, think like you, talk. It's like it's dating. I never got to date in the fucking computer world. I would have liked to because I think it's great. You cut through all the bullshit. Well, these guys, we know we got shit. I had a guy over at my house today working on the bus with me. I have guys, like, I go, I've got guys in towns now. You know, right, you go to town.
We got Bobby Sharon. We got Bob Lingus. Yeah, we got all those
it's
fucking
great.
Savages.
I'm going to a town that I used to never know anyone, and all of a sudden I got
you
like
got a couple buddies. You call, they pick Lee up, they take him out to Mexican food. You know, it's
we had a friend come in from Australia.
Yeah,
this past weekend.
That's Bob. Awesome.
I want to give him a shout. He came with his sisters. He came to both shows. He hooked up with Anik. He had some edibles.
Where were you this weekend?
I was at the South Point Casino. And I had a great fucking time. If you guys came to the show, first off, there were good shows, man. And the people were great. The club was great. The food was great. I do it once a year.
Yeah.
and I don't leave the fucking casino.
Yeah, and that's kind of out there. That's on the way in.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was so crazy. Like, I had this weird thing happen to me this weekend. It was just weird how people act and women act. And, like, this girl tried to keep luring me out of the casino. She had no idea who she was up against.
Dude, and you were like, I'm just not leaving.
Like, people really don't fucking get me. Like, they think, like, I'm fucking around.
Do you think that's maybe why she, like, was so insistent? Because, like, probably no one ever says no. And, like, nothing even heard. She couldn't convince Joey Diaz this to leave.
The challenge.
This poor girl came to the show dressed up. And the minute she came in, she's like, I can't wait till you take me out around the town. And I'm looking at her thinking, she don't know if she's getting a fucking crab and avocado salad. She's getting tossed out of here. I love her to death, but I don't love her that much. And she tried. Like, she started calling me early. She's a dear friend. I love her and stuff. But I even told her, like, a month ago, listen, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
I did the opposite, Joey.
I can't do it.
I never party anymore because I got a wife. I got a 2.5-year-old. This weekend, I was a monster. I don't know. I think I've had a lot of stress lately in my life. My mom was sick. I got Bell's palsy, like half my face paralyzed. And it was a tough month. I went down to San Diego. Love the city. I love to surf. My opener was a buddy of mine, Joe Prano. And it was just like, I got to the club and it was like, I felt like I was in college again. Like, I got to get a drink.
It's a college vibe.
They
still got the sushi place across the street.
Yeah, yeah. And I went and got sushi. We went to sushi.
Chinese and sushi right across the street.
I think so. Or they have at least something.
A like, little something across
the street. Do you go to the burrito place?
No, I got taken to a fish place. It was the best fucking fish I've had in so long. And a pizza. I was doing shots of tequila. Like, so now, like, I'll have two drinks a night. And when I was young, I could drink a shitload. It was like I was young, no hangovers. I wasn't taking Ubers home. I was taking golf carts home. Like, guys driving golf carts, I'd be like, I'll pay you $20. Drive me up there. Jump in their golf cart and just, you know, eating pizza out of the back of it. It was like I was in college. And there were a lot of girls around. But, you know, like, there were girlfriends of mine. And, like, everybody else is having a good time. But I'm like, you know, I'm not going there. But it was like, I missed this. I didn't, like, when I got married, I was like, I'm over all that shit. But I think for the past, like, 3 to 4 years, 5 years, I've kind of pushed that out of my life completely. So it was like, hey, this is fun again. This is fun. Like, I slept in my clothes both nights, kept my contacts in.
I just don't like leaving. I just don't like driving all around Vegas. That's what I don't like.
Oh, I hate Vegas.
So
like
that's
that.
Why when I go to the South Point, I plan it even before I get there. I know exactly. I'm leaving one time to do MMA Junkyard. I go to Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. I call them at 11:45. The car's there 10 after, you know, and I go back to the hotel and I go to the gym or I fucking...
Do you gamble at all?
Meet. Yeah, I won this week. I played poker on the computer and I hit him. I don't gamble.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not big into it.
But I was telling Leo how 2 weeks ago I was in Long Island. And like some kid kept bugging me. Man, can I buy you a drink? I said, listen, I'm not drinking. I got to be in a 4:00 car. It's 1 a.m. I don't drink anyway. I said, thank you. I went up to the bar and I got a fucking water. If this kid didn't ask me 20 times if he could buy me a drink. And I felt bad for the kid because he finally walked away upset. But it's like, once you ask me, I tell you no. Get the fuck out of my face. It's not going to get no better for you.
You know what? You know what I do every once in a while?
When I tell you no, it's fucking no.
I go like this. I go, can I buy you a drink? And then that's my way of getting out of having to drink the alcohol. They'll be like, come on, let me buy you a drink. When they're insistent.
No, but these guys, they had a couple of drinks in them. This girl was funny because she came. She goes, well, I'm just going to come to the show. I'm like, oh. I kept telling you, you should just wait till I get out of here. Because see, if she would have told me she was at the Mirage, I'd be like, oh, I'll see you there in 10 minutes. Fuck you. You ain't gonna get me out of this.
And then turn your phone on silent.
And it was funny because she came to the show, and I told her. I said, "She goes, well, what are we gonna do after?" She goes, "I have friends at the Bellagio." And I'm like, oh, yeah,
see,
she's hitting me with all these names of places, and I'm like, "Listen, this ain't looking good for you right now."
That's tough though to do that.
But she, it wasn't sexual. I know her. She knows I'm married. I know her fucking.
Yeah, but I'm saying just like no, the runaround in Vegas is
no,
hard.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm not getting no fucking Uber, Duba, or Gaduba.
So I did it single.
No,
and it sucked.
No. Even single, I don't want to fucking leave.
Yeah.
I did that shit one time with Rogan. I didn't get back till 4 a.m. Yeah. There's fucking lines everywhere for a cab. There's traffic. Fuck you. No,
I didn't get back till 4 a.m.
Listen, Saturday. Friday, she waited for me till 1 a.m. She finally cracked that one. She looked at me. She goes, you're going to leave tonight, are you? I go, you're in no danger. And she goes, what are you going to do? I go, I'm walking to that door over there. I'm going to smoke a joint. I'm coming back in. I'm giving you a hug. I'm going that way, and you're going that way. And that's the end of the night.
No
and
party.
Then Saturday, she called. Like, when I got up, there was a call from her. Let's go ahead. For an adventure, go to a weed store. Why would I do that? I brought fucking a quarter round to this and a quarter round to that, and I got a bag of stars that could choke the fucking bellman. I'm going to go to a weed store with you in Vegas.
How many shows did you have to do?
Two. One on Friday. Geez. You're on stage at 9. Come on, guy.
You're so lucky.
You just want to be left the fuck alone. You know what your fate is. You take some pictures, you give people hugs, you go, you get a little clam chowder, and you go upstairs, and da-da-da.
That
it's
sounds
over.
Good.
I don't want to have a drink. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the type of guy, I'm there to take pictures. I'll sign your shit. I'll take the pictures. We'll talk. But once it's time to go, we got to wrap it up and go. You ain't going to get me at no fucking club.
Yeah, never.
I don't give a fuck who's having a jump and down. Now, listen, man, it's not what I'm into. I find peace going up to that room. I take a shower. I put my shorts on. I go to the refrigerator, I take a fucking apple juice out. They had apple juice waiting for Uncle Joey. I took a little can of that fucking apple juice.
The treetop, yeah.
I watched Law and Order.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just
I've probably been to Vegas now, you know, 30 times. I've only think I've had one really fun night in Vegas. And I have fun a lot. It's not like I'm a boring, like, I'm not like this guy that complains. It was just... I did it. It was my kind of fake bachelor party where I invited fans of the show. The shitheads came out and we all went to the Hustler Club because they kind of sponsored my show a bit. And we acted like fucking idiots and drank and smoked and ended up in other strip clubs till the sun came up. And that was the only time I've ever gone, hey, that was a fucking fun night. Every other time it's just like,
I've had good nights in Vegas. I never had a good night. I had a good time. I had a good time Friday night and Saturday night. Believe it or not, I had a really good fucking time. I drank a few beers. I won a couple yardsticks, and I didn't have to leave the building.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do dick. Nothing. Nothing.
I go straight to my room.
No, it's the weirdest. I'm going to St. Louis. I'm getting all these people hitting me up. Listen, you believe what you want to believe. No, dog, there's a guy that sent me like this fucking friend request. You know, listen, if you're going to let me fuck with you, I'm going to fuck with you.
If you're going to let me
fuck. And if you're going to be that stupid, I'm going to fuck with you. There's a guy who actually believed I was going to send him a box of stars. For the last 5 months, some guy in Ireland has been hitting me. You know that Messenger account, that hidden account you have on Facebook?
Right.
And you click onto it and it says you got 2,000 messages.
Yeah.
And you click onto it and you feel horrible. These people think you hate them.
Yeah.
And you find all these hidden messages and shit from
it's
creepy people.
It's so funny you talk about
it's
that.
It's the fucking creepiest thing
in the
world.
It only shows up every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a message from him like, hey, man, why don't you ship me over a box of stars? I would be your fan for life. Sure, why not? And then he would hit back, really? You would do that? And I'm like, sure, why not? And he would go, okay, can you also send me a shirt and a cup? And he asked for like 20 things. I'm like, absolutely. Send me the fucking address. Well, yeah, he sent me the address. He sent me all the explanations how to send it. I kept telling him, yeah, it's on its way. Finally, the other day, he's like, I never got the package, you fuck. Did you really send it? I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Did you really believe I was going to send you a package? I don't even know you dumb fuck. Did I just fall off a fucking banana boat? Like, who would send somebody a fucking package with stars in it? Can you imagine 2 days later, the FBI's knocking on your fucking door?
Yeah, that's why I can't even respond to those.
No,
I think the FBI agents on Twitter.
I goof on them. Goof on them. Tell him, yeah, whatever you want. I'll be waiting for you.
I think
if you're that dumb, if you're that dumb to say that to me on Twitter, then I got to play with you. I'm going to treat you like the fucking moron that you are.
You don't think that the FBI could be on there like trying to
Who gives a fuck? Fuck with them. Sure, yeah. Just keep telling them, yeah, and then set up a time and a meet. Tell them you're going to meet them in fucking Vegas by the fountain at midnight. Good luck.
I did that when the internet first came out. When it first came out, like, we're talking like 19, this would have been like 1990, oh, around 1990, my friend and I would go on the lesbian chat lines and troll dudes. And because we, it was girls, and you knew it was just dudes.
Wait, it was
trying to, so we'd go on as guys, as women, we'd pretend we were women, to meet other women. And then you'd have dudes come into the room and talk to the girls, because it was like the only place you could get, like, get weird on the internet. Was it? So we would troll these dudes, and this was like on AOL. Like, you know, you chat on, I think it might have even been like pre that or whatever. But we would just say like, all right, I'll meet you at this bar. I'm going to be by the jukebox. And I'd say things like, I need you to wear a blue hat. I want you to put it on backwards so I know who you are. You know, this is pre-cell phones. It's like, I want you to put your hat on backwards. It, no, it was 1994. This was 94. Because it was, yeah. And I'd go, put your hat on backwards and play this song, you know, so I know who you are. And just send these dudes. And I used to send them to truck stops and all kinds of shit. And then my friend and I, like, as we got older, we're like, we were trolls when we were like, you know, like little kids, like we were fucking with guys and like guys trying to like pick up these like dirty lesbians that they thought were going to fuck them. And I had them waiting on the Garden State Parkway at a road stop thinking they were getting a blowjob. I feel bad about it now, but it's...
Listen, if somebody's going to be that stupid, they deserve what they got coming to them. I mean, you cannot go on one of those things and... really feel safe. Like, I wouldn't feel...
We were catfishing.
Safe. I wouldn't fucking feel safe in none of those situations.
What situation?
Any of those situations. Like, going on a chit-chat line and talking to a broad that I don't fucking see or nothing like that. You know, whenever somebody attacks me on, like, Twitter, like, a message, like, you get those once in a while. Somebody just tries to fuck with your head.
Yeah, I got it today. Yes. Out of the blue. I haven't had it in a while.
You get them every 3 fucking weeks.
But they come together in, like, a wave, and I'm like,
what the fuck is going on here with these people? Like, something's going on that I don't know about. And then you look more into their Twitter, and you can tell that something ain't right.
Yeah, oh, like, always.
You know when something ain't right.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, it's just, I don't know. I don't like fucking with people.
When it comes in a wave like that, because I never, like, you know, I'm not big on Twitter or anything. When I used to work with Jim Jeffries, I used to get so much hate mail all day long. Like hundreds. I was like, and people were like, oh, your show's growing, it's getting popular. I'm like, I can't handle this. I was like, I can't handle the hate. It's like killing me. And then so I don't get it much anymore. And then it'll come in a little wave, and all I figure is I must have been on TV last night, like a rerun of something I did, and there were just a bunch of dudes sitting around going, oh, fuck this guy. like they hated me so much that they were like...
Sometimes one person has multiple accounts, and it's funny, because you can go and I go to their page, and they all retweet each other, like, of the same thing at the same time. Oh, yeah, this guy just has, like, 18 accounts. He's having fun by himself.
I don't care about it anymore because I'm starting to totally realize that the people that do that shit are just fucking weird. Something's wrong with them. I can't imagine trolling anyone other than Trump.
Facebook is where I get, believe it or not. Facebook, I get the weirdest fucking thing. The last one I got was about 8 days ago. A little chubby little blonde chick about my age from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me with a message if I knew somebody. If I grew up with a certain person, I did grow up with that person, but I don't know who the fuck she is.
Yeah.
So I answered no.
Yeah.
Then we went back and forth, all very vague questions. You know, because I'll give you a vague answer and I'll throw you completely off.
I love that you said no. I would never think to say no.
I wouldn't either.
No,
I wouldn't either.
No, you don't know nobody. You don't know nobody, and you don't want to know nobody. I don't know nobody. You don't know who that person is.
Yeah, I wish I would follow
your
rules.
Just because there's a fucking picture there, that's a guy. That could be a guy looking for something. Did you grow up with him? That could be a public, what do you call those people? Like a public, those people that spy on people for other people.
Private investigator.
That could be a private investigator that's looking at Lee for his divorce. His wife hired him. and he's fucking hitting you up as Lee, asking you if we're going to go get pussy this weekend. You know, just that you never know.
Yeah.
Why give, why, it's like those assholes that answer the phone. Hi, this is Tim McMillan.
I got catfished once. Like,
no, you never open up with your name.
Hello? I gave too much information.
Never.
And I don't know if it was a girl or a guy. I forget the whole situation, but they played me pretty hard for a long time.
Man, no.
It was a weird thing. I was trying to get a hold of a girl, and I sent her a message, on a text message, and apparently she had gotten rid of her phone, and someone had the new phone, and like someone had her number. And so this person just started playing me, and they started playing me really hard, and it got like really weird. They told me they had cancer and all this stuff. And they knew I surfed you. I bought you a gift. I'm going to send you a surfboard and all this stuff. And I thought it was her, the girl that I knew the whole time. And I'm like, why is this going on? And then I took it to her friend. I'm like, why is she doing this to me? She's fucking weird. Why is this going on? And she's like, that's not her number. I'm like, what? She's like, she changed numbers.
No, it's fucking weird. Jesus. They had something on 2020 about the basketball player, the white guy from the Denver Nuggets.
Birdman?
The white dude that has all the tattoos?
Yeah, Birdman.
About he was having a long-distance relationship with a girl that was set up by a girl in Alaska, a little retarded girl in Alaska, and that's all she does.
Oh.
That's all she does.
That football player for the Chargers had that happen in college.
Yeah.
The
Notre Dame guy?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had a kind of a funny one. I help people start podcasts sometimes, and I got we went back like two or three times, and they told me they were like the third base coach of the White Sox, like a former player, and they said his name. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, I'd love to help. And like two or three later, like, fuck you, I hate you, you suck. And that was their in, that they were like the third base coach of the White Sox.
Oh, I forgot about this one. We had a girl that was a big fan of talking shit when Jim and I were doing it. And she told us she had cancer. That's people wants to do this to me all the time. And we used to call her Cancer Girl. That was our joke name for her. We called her Cancer Girl. And we used to for a donation, you could come to the house. And we told her, you know what? You can come for free. You come out here, we'll have you, blah, blah, blah. We said, we'll even pay for your flight. You know, because she said, she was telling us it was like terminal, and she loved the show and everything, and she was like hardcore, like she did crazy shit, and you know, she's like, she's like, I might not take my treatment, because I just want to die, because I don't want to go through, I've already been through chemo once, like a really, really in-depth story. So, we said, we'll fly you out here. She said, I can't fly, the doctors say I'm too sick to fly. So, I kind of leave it at that. Sorry, we'd love to have you. Jim used to, you know, Jim Jeffries, he was like, don't die. You know, he'd be like, see a cancer girl. You know, like he just gave her a hard time. So I'm doing a show in Florida in Marco Island. You've probably done that.
No.
So I'm doing the Marco Island gig. And this comedian, I'm not going to say his name on here. You guys probably know him. He said, hey, I'm flying down to Atlanta. He said, can I come down? I'll drive down. Can I do a guest spot on your show? I said, yeah, no problem. I said, why are you going to be down there? He goes, I'm flying into Atlanta and I'm picking up Cancer Girl and I'm taking her to a concert. And then I'm going to drive her down to see your show since she can't fly out here. So I'm going to drive her. And he flew into Atlanta, drove somewhere really far, picked her up and then drove her down to like Naples is south of fucking Tampa. So he shows up. Does the guest spot and everything. She hangs out. She was kind of fucking like off the rails. She wrote graffiti on the wall in the bathroom.
So it was really a girl though.
Yeah, it was a girl.
Okay.
It was a girl. He hooks up with her or whatever happens.
What?
Then we find out he's hooking up with her. We find out that our intern has been webcam jerking off with her. Then we find out she doesn't have cancer. She lied to us that she had cancer and did all that. Then she tells the open mic, or not the open mic, the comedian that brought her, the trover, that he got her pregnant.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, this woman is a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's why you avoid people like
you
that.
You have to be very careful in today's...
A slutty cancer?
This thing with me was fucking crazy because I watched it. And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Then she sent me something else. I noted that. And then she asked me if I did comedy and if I was from North Bergen. And I said, yeah, I'm from North Bergen. Obviously, you know that. You asked me about that guy. And then that was it. I left. I come back and there's three messages, and one of who I thought was her in a bikini. I'm looking at this little chubby girl going, why'd she send this picture? her with a fucking, with the tit. What's that when they wore the whole thing down to here? It's like a bikini.
Oh, like the
one piece?
A one piece, but it's really not a bikini.
The Borat.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, gotcha.
And she sends me one of those, and then it's something else doing splits. So, yeah, I'm like, I don't need this shit in my life, you know? If you're not going to send me a picture of your pussy, don't bother. Don't bother. You want to get my attention, just send a picture of the monkey.
I don't get
that
ever anymore.
No, no, I don't get them either. But if you want to get my attention, send me a picture of your monkey.
But I really...
Nothing else? Everything else gets a thumbs up? I don't even look at it.
I don't
give a fuck. I
used to get some of that before I was married.
Yeah, because you tell people you're married. Like me, we're old dogs. Nobody wants to send an old dog. Would you send a picture of your dick to a 70-year-old lady?
Maybe.
No, you wouldn't. No, you fucking wouldn't, all right? It's the same thing. Who? I don't even want pictures of pussy. My point was that you're not going to get my attention unless you send me a picture of your pussy like lighting on fire or blowing a Roman candle or something. I don't want to see you in a fucking bikini. So I leave it at that. Like, I didn't even answer her back. Which probably drove her crazy. Like, I don't know, you know. So about a week later, and then I go over there and I plug the computer on in Vegas Saturday morning. And I'm up early. I'm up at like 7. I'm waiting for fucking room service. I go, let me look at this fucking thing. And I start looking through it, and I saw she sent me another message. And I click. She sent me pictures of her chubby daughter. I'm looking at her going, she looks so clean. Like, yeah. Like, bro, people are fucking retarded, man. So you never know. Like there's
sexual
a lot
pictures?
Of, you know, we're very lucky. We have Bobby like Sharon Kim and Kardashian. Crystal and Bob Lalingus and fucking the Armenian, you know, fucking, what's his name? He brings me bread.
Oh,
brother.
We got Bergie.
Bergie. We're very lucky that we got.
Oh, you, I never thought of that, too. Everyone probably brings you drugs.
No, and- no, no. We have people on the road in certain cities that show up and always bring me something to kill Lee. Like the liquid acid, the paper acid. It's always something to kill Lee with.
I like he said no. No, they don't bring me drugs. They bring me stuff to kill Lee.
Have you guys had Shane Moss on here?
Shane Moss.
Shane Moss is a really good dude. Really funny comedian,
oh
too.
Oh, my God. From Minneapolis.
And he does the same.
The black dude.
No, no, no.
Not that Shane
Moss. That's Randy Moss.
No, that's the, no, no, no. Randy Moss is a wide receiver.
Shane Moss is a white dude. Okay. He does a whole show now, a comedy show on psychedelics, and he just loves them. He's done DMT like 60 times.
Yeah, I don't want that fucking lunatic on my fucking doing DMT on my fucking show, dog. I want people to come in and talk and be fucking normal.
You know, he's great. He's really smart, and he's really into it.
Great. Do I look smart and really into it?
You look into it.
Fuck. I don't want nobody across from me thinking he's fucking nephrodopathies, whatever his fucking name.
You've never done DMT?
No.
Really?
Just do acid and join the real world. Stop fucking around with baby shit. I'm going to get high for 60 seconds and cry and go in a corner and tell people my insecurities. I'll give you a hit. Listen, we'll do a drop of that shit there in a sugar cube. You'll hang out with Uncle Joey. You'll be fine. Oh, no more DMT. That'll take you to what side you need to see. That little container right there.
Oh, there it is. That's what that is.
That's what that is.
Oh, God, that's
terrifying.
I'll put
that on an ice cube right there. It's all over. You take the DMT, you'll never do that kid stuff again. That's like a daycare problem.
But I'm amazed that more people don't dose people. Like, people don't get...
It's illegal.
I know, but it'd be so easy to get away with.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. And that's something that you don't want to dose people with.
No, no, I'm saying... I've been drugged once in my life.
Yeah, that's great, because you weren't watching your fucking glass.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm going to watch your fucking glass, so... This is,
but it was a good. It turned into a good situation.
But the thing, Joey doesn't dose it. Like Joey convinces the people to dose themselves almost,
like Polly.
No, well, here's the thing, man. Me fucking around with him,
you know his level.
I know that he had. It was time for him to push it. Like in the beginning, I was giving him big packages and telling him there were small packages. So I was playing with his mind. He thought he was doing 35 milligrams. Meanwhile, he was doing 100 and going, why is this killing me? Because it's a strong cookie. But whatever he thought he was eating, he was really eating double.
Because it's Wednesday, dog.
I was lifting his resistance without him knowing.
Have you always had a friend like this?
that was like your guy that you got peer pressured and
all my God, all my friends knew when you were around me. If I had blow, we had to do it.
Yeah.
If I got, but I didn't, you know.
When did you start? How old?
I started getting high on weed when I was about 12, 13, playing basketball. I was really a jock, but the jocks in those days got high.
Yeah.
It wasn't like jocks that walked. No, we got fucking high, and we robbed beer trucks, and we did all that type of shit. But the it was 78 when I really started fucking around, 79. And the other drug was acid, which was blotter, window pane. They had all acid was everywhere. It was $5, $4, $3, $2. You know, you had nickel bags of marijuana. Nickel bags. You got 7 joints for $5.
I couldn't do acid. I don't know
how you did. And then you had angel dust. You could smoke it or snort it.
What's the feeling from angel dust?
Like the world is crashing and you're just fucking floating. Like that was weird. Like every drug I did. Okay, like I did the fucking weed just because I liked it. And I liked how music sounded with weed. That's why I really liked fucking weed in the beginning, because I liked music. And then, I don't know why, I can't tell you what made me do acid. As much as I hated all that shit, I didn't read, you know, there was no internet in those days. You had no, you couldn't WebMD.
Yeah.
You just talked to different people.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, you fucking, there was no Yelp.
Right.
You know, there was no Yelp. You didn't believe nobody. They told you. You got 3 friends, right? Yeah. Yeah. You do that shit? Yeah.
How was it?
Tremendous. We went to a concert. We had a good time. Beautiful. Should I do it? Fuck you. Yeah. It's going to change your life. Okay. Done. That's it. There's no thinking. There's no what you get. Well, I don't really. I don't give a fuck what you want to do. That's what asked it tonight.
That's why people talk about parenting. It's like, it's all about who your kid's hanging out with.
Yeah. That's it. And, you know, it was not. I always had somebody growing up, like 2 or 3 dudes that we got down with, that we all had the same tolerance.
But did you peer pressure them like you do him?
No, him, I peer pressure him because he wouldn't do anything. If he doesn't do this these 2 nights, this is it.
Oh, really?
He'll sit at home and watch Color is the Purple, Orange is Purple, and fucking anything bad he'll watch, and they'll cook Blue Apron. Oh. Know, and they'll fucking stay in. And
do you really cook Blue Apron?
Yeah,
it's fun.
So good.
And he fucking watches, you know, Saturday Night Live, and they giggle.
I don't.
You know what I'm saying? If this is it, this is it.
Does he have a girl? Do you have a girl?
Yeah, he has a living girlfriend. Uh-huh. She's an attorney. Well. At least slinging dick. Lee's a savage and shit.
I've always been kind of I've always been really like nerdy and like just boring.
You're not nerdy, you're savoir faire. You know
sure,
what
sure, whatever you want,
I'm
whatever they call it now.
I used to not understand people that are nerdy and boring. I couldn't understand how it happened, and now that I'm kind of married, I'm kind of nerdy and boring myself, and I'm happy with it. I'm like, oh, they were happy with it their whole life. I always just assumed they were like miserable. I'm like, why would you want to be like that? And now that I am like that, I'm like, oh, I get it. I want to go home and just sit with my wife.
Part of me does want it. Part of me is like, oh, maybe I should have partied. But then literally 97% of the people I talk to about it are like, oh, you didn't miss anything. Like, in reality, look.
No, I had some great fucking times.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, man. I don't know why I started doing drugs. You know, who the fuck knows?
I wouldn't want to do it now. But I mean, I did this weekend, but it was like, I just can't handle it like I did. And I regret, I have lots of regrets of like throwing away years of my life for just partying. Like, you probably educated yourself and...
I went to an art school, so not really.
Okay.
You know, Lee is, you see, you know, I'm 54. Now I see the generations and I see the differences in the generations. I really do. I really do. I don't name them.
Yeah,
I don't know what the X generation is, or the fucking Pepsi generation, or what a millennial is. I don't know that shit.
Pepsi.
I know what a half a fucking fag is. That's what I fucking know. And half of them are half of fags. You know, POTUS to these new people get body highs from weed. I never heard this shit, but that's what we're dealing with today. People who say POTUS, 92,000 presidents. All of a sudden now they want to start calling them fucking POTUS. All right. You know, everybody with this, you go to a weed store and they destroyed the weed industry with their faggotry. It's faggotry with the body highs and the. Now there's a new thing, micro dosing. Like, we don't really get high, we micro dose. Let me Let me put my dick in your mouth now while we have the chance before somebody fucking shoots you. We're going into some scary times with these fucking type of people.
You don't microdose, Joey?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We just microdose. We just microdose 2,000
fucking macro, milligrams. You macrodose.
We macrodose. We broke the fucking bank, okay? Macro, micro, who gives a fuck? But it's just amazing where we're going and how soft we've become. And it fucking tears me up that people microdose. When they tell you now.
It just upsets you at night by yourself?
Oh, well, I'm sitting there driving. I'm smoking a big fucking bong. Oh. And I hear people telling me they microdosed this morning after their morning yoga session. And I want to sit there and go, what the fuck is this? Eddie, what's this tour you're doing? What is the name of this tour?
I'm going, it's called the Bingo All the Way. And we're taking that bingo bus. I bought a bus for about 10 grand. Did a Kickstarter and we put about 65 grand into the bus. Now, that was with the Kickstarter. Now it's up to like 95 grand. And it's, I could probably sell the bus for about 2 grand, maybe 3, if anyone wants to buy it. Because it's just fucking digging. Every day it's something else. Every day I gotta like fix the, I had rats in it that chewed all the wiring.
Oh no.
$10,000 of wiring, just everything. But I finally said, well, you know, I told the fans I was gonna bring it around the country, so. We're leaving on the 19th of July, and we're going. This is a tour. We're going to San Jose that night, Eugene, Oregon, 9 hours later the next night, Seattle the next night. Then we go over to Spokane, down to Boise, Salt Lake City. We're going to Denver, Lincoln, Nebraska, St. Paul, Chicago, Illinois, Madison, Wisconsin, Iowa City, Dubuque, and then we're talking about stopping in Vegas on the way back for this weed thing, but it's fucking, and it's me. It's not like, you know, when guys got on a tour bus, it's nice and they got bed, and still that's tough. This is a shitty old school bus.
How many guys on the bus?
So we're going to have 4 total, and it's all nice inside. Like
I saw the big screen TV.
Yeah, it's beautiful inside. And but one of my cameraman guy, so I got like an audio guy, and one of them does merch, and then I got a comedian that comes with me, an opener.
And my, who drives the fucking
thing? We all take turns. I'll even be doing it. I'm a soldier on this thing. Like, I'm not the leader. Like, we're all in this together. One of my cameraman today sends me a contract. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want a new cameraman. Like, fuck off. He was like making all these demands. I go, I'm with a big agency. When I go to a club, there's like 3 lines in my contract. Your contract to come on tour with me is like 5 pages. So we're going to have a good time, though. We have tailgate parties at the bus. So we just open. We got a keg on the bus. We tequila. We drink. We have a party. Smoke on the bus. Everything. And do the show, stand-up show, and then everybody comes out to the bus afterwards, tailgate, and we do a live podcast.
Pretty fucking... How long is the tour?
20 days.
20 days.
I'm leaving my wife and kid for 20 days to ride around this... Like, it's smaller than this room, Joey.
No, I know. I like the tour. I hate the predicament. You know what I'm saying? With a 1940 bus... That thing's gonna blow up in Dubuque, fucking kid.
I know. Everybody's making bets. There. Everybody's making bets.
I don't want to make a bet, but fuck it. You better have plan B just in case. You got some short dates there in between.
Fuck.
Yeah, you got some short times there. Oh. Eugene, Oregon. If you're telling me you had rats, God knows what, by the way, is in that fucking engine. You know what I'm saying?
Does it have AC?
No.
Oh, no.
No, but listen. I've been working on AC all week. And every single fan has like an opinion on AC, and we were like, do we do batteries, do we do generators, do we get an alternator, to people were going, you're gonna put dry ice in a bucket and blow a fan. You know, they were giving us every kind of way, and I'm just like, so I think we've narrowed it down, we're gonna have AC by the time we go, but how we have it is a fucking nightmare.
I would do it through a generator and like a dry swamp, yeah, whatever, swamp cooler.
That's what I think we're doing.
That's it. That's the only way I could see it. And then every stop, recharge the generator. Yeah.
Generator lasts 10 hours.
Yeah, so that's it. You stop. But every time you stop, you charge it.
Yeah.
While you're eating, you charge it. It's like these people that my cell phone's dead. What the fuck did you do when you were home?
It's going to be
plug
so
it in,
hot.
Take a shower, and you come back, the thing is ready. Same thing with that fucking thing. You plug in the bus, you go eat at Subway, whatever the fuck you're going to do, because there ain't no Mortons on this tour.
No.
There ain't no Mortons on this tour. You're lucky if you get a napkin and shit. This is like one of those tours they take the 600-pound man on. You ever see when they put him in the back of a U-Haul, and they take him across the country to fat fuck, and every 3 hours he's got to stop. He's back there, stop.
That's what I have. I feel like that's what I've done. I've created this tour that's like, fucking, everyone's like, you have to do it. And I was like, why do I have to? They're like, you built the bus. And it's funny, we're going to Dubuque, Iowa. We're at fucking Field of Dreams. My friend goes,
now, what's a club in Dubuque, Iowa?
I'm doing the Q Casino.
Now, was there a club in there?
I think you're thinking the Quad Cities.
Right. What club was in there?
Oh, it's called Penguins.
Penguins. Now, they have a club on a ship.
They do now?
I don't know. They had the club downtown.
I forget. I used to open for Attell. I opened for Attell there. And we had a fucking good week there.
Because they used to have like a Thursday, Friday at the club. And then Saturday you went to a ship. And that ship had a comedy club in it. And it was like a Funny Bone something. And the chick that ran that club knew more about comedy.
Nan?
Yes.
Nan.
Where is she?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I hooked up with a waitress there.
Me, too.
And we had sex, and never thought anything of it again. You know, see ya. Good seeing ya. And someone knew, like one of my friends knew, and told Jim Florentine, who's a good friend of mine, told him, and... I called Jim or something, and he'd just come back from there, and he said, "I said, hey, how was the gig?" And he goes, "Oh," I go, "Did you see so and so?" And he goes, "Oh, you mean the pregnant girl?" And I go, "What?" He goes, "The pregnant waitress. You know, she's like," and he knew how long ago I was there. He's like, "She's like 6 months pregnant. You talking about that girl?" And I'm like, I forget her name, Carly or something. I'm like, Carly. He's like, yeah, Carly, the pregnant girl. And I just fucking went, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And he's like, oh, yeah, she was talking about her, you know. I said, does she have a boyfriend or a husband or anything? No, I think some comic knocked her up. And I'm like, oh, fuck, and I just lost my shit. I was panicking so hard. And he goes, yeah, you're a real fucking gullible one. You fell for this shit. And he just got me so fucking good. So good. I was convinced for like, you know, I was like, oh, fuck, I got a kid in Quad Cities, Illinois.
I had a weird experience there. I went there, you know, $12 a week headliner. I did Mad TV, maybe. And maybe something else. I do not know. But whatever I did, this waitress saw. This is the weirdest fucking thing that could happen to you on the road. It's a Saturday night. Sunday, they drive you, you get on a fucking plane, you come home. Saturday night, she comes up to me, introduces herself, and says, can I take you somewhere after here? I want to introduce you to the biggest fan in the fucking world. Now, in those days, I was doing powder.
Yeah. So you'd go out.
If this, I didn't say that. At first, I go, let me see what happens after the show. And she goes, trust me, you're going to want to go to this thing. So every 10 minutes when I'd see her, and she goes, get ready to have a good time. I'm like, what the fuck is this girl talking about? Second show, that's the fucking night where I'm sitting there. I don't know how many people in the audience. And the manager comes up to me, she goes, oh, by the way, the second show, Ron White and Jeff Foxworthy, no, the other guy, are doing a guest set.
Wow.
I go, are you fucking crazy? I'm not following Ron. This is the heat of their popularity.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not fucking following those savages. And they came in, and it was great. I started drinking fucking doers, and I started hanging out. I smoked a joint. So afterward, the girl came over, and she goes, what are you going to do? I go, I'm going to go with them. And she grabbed my arm, and she goes, listen to me. If I was you, I'd come with me. And I look at her like, is that what? I go, do you know anything about me? What is that one? She goes, trust me, you're going to want to come. I go, is that nothing to do with powder? And she goes, well, I'm going to take you. There might be some powder. We'll ask when we get there, but trust me, you want to go to this place. And I thought there was a catch, because yeah, those type of girls always have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
They're always dating the dirtiest, fucking dumbest waiter in the fucking place, you know. Sure enough, they're showing, and she's like, you ready? And I'm like, who else is going? And she's like, just me and you. And I think I had a little coke in my pocket. I copped a little something from one of the fucking casino dudes. I saw a Spanish casino dude, and I worked him right away. We can get the powder. He's like, give me 5 minutes. I got a cousin around here somewhere. So yeah, I'm excited. So we get in a fucking car. We drive about 20 minutes. Real cute girl. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
I got to be 40 at the time, 39. You know, this chick's maybe 26. And she stops, and it's a strip club.
Yeah.
And I go, what are we doing here? She goes, your biggest fan works here. And I'm thinking, I ain't got no fucking fans.
Yeah.
I know three people. I put out a shitty CD.
Yeah.
What the fuck is she talking about? She takes me in, but when we go in, she takes my hand, and she goes, come on, follow me. And she takes me to one of those back rooms,
yeah,
where strippers take you, and she goes, sit right here. I'm thinking I'm getting shot. I'm like, this is a hit. This is a fucking hit. I don't have a weapon on me. I got nothing. So I went real quick and got a bottle of fucking beer. And I'm like, I'm going to sit here and wait till whatever happens, happens. I'm going to hit him. Dude, it was a fucking hit.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck lives in fucking Des Moines, Iowa, right, the Quad
right,
Cities.
Right.
Why is a fucking beautiful girl with red hair and a great body asking me to come to a strip club with her, and now she leaves me in this fucking private room by myself? In the middle of all this anxiety, bam, the fucking door opens up. That waitress was in a fucking bikini with no top on.
Oh, she was this stripper.
And she came over and gave me a lap dance. It was fucking, I couldn't believe it. It was just me and her in this room. I go, how do you do this? She goes, I work here part time.
Oh.
So I told her I wanted to bring you here as a surprise. I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't end up, nothing really fucking went down except
really?
That. She got, yeah, I grabbed her a little bit, you know. I trumped her.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
I got a little monkey in the Trump hold.
I met the girl who catfished me, well, who I thought catfished me, and it was someone else. She used to be a girl that hung out. She was like a hanger outer at the improv, and I thought she was pretty hot. One night, she hung around a lot, so they love comics. One night, I was at the bar, I was drinking with them, and she came home with me, and I had sex with her, and a lot of comics saw me leave with her, and I get a text from, I think it was Ryan Stout did it to me. You know Ryan Stout?
I thought, yeah.
Ryan sends me a text, and it's just a link. He goes, check this out. It's the girl I'm with, you know, in just a hardcore porno. Like, just, I had no idea. And she was just getting, like, it was, like, called, like, Coeds Need Cash. And she's just getting, like, fucked by, like, some dude. This is just right after I've had sex with her. And I'm like, oh, but you let me walk out of there without, like, they all knew. All the comics were like, and no one said anything. And they just let me go home with this chick. And I know people are listening right now and going, what's the big deal? I probably still would have gone home if she said, you know, I do porn. But it's just like you meet this chick and you think she's one thing, and then you see her sucking this giant black cock, and you're like, holy shit.
And I was making out with her. Yeah. So what's the name of your tour? Where can these people get the date?
It's called the Bingo All the Way Tour. It's at eddieift.com, IFFT. And it's starting July 19th, and it ends like August 4th or 5th, and it's every night. And my new podcast comes out tomorrow.
It's on iTunes, right?
Yeah, iTunes. It's called The Bingo Show. B-I-N-G-L-E.
You're ready to fucking go, bingo. You know what I'm saying?
Bingo.
You're all bingoed out. What's up with you over there, Lisa Ansi? You made it. Another podcast. You were scared. I'm not doing nothing. You're doing it. Nothing's happening to you. It's all mental. You understand me?
I feel you.
You're not like these fucking mental midgets. You're a savage. Look at you. You're a Jewish tank of death. Anyway, speaking of Jewish tanks and fucking debt, don't forget, for all your supplements, go to Onnit, onnit.com right now. Alpha Brain. Listen, you try it, you don't like it, you get 100% money back guarantee. How's that for you? Go to onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
Bam! Get 10% off that motherfucker. You understand me? Number two, do me a favor. Listen, and I'm responsible for this, for dressing like a fucking mortadelle. Because, you know, for years I dressed nice, but then I said, what the fuck, I'm too old to lie to people. And now I'm too old to dress like I'm fucking dressing. So I'm thinking of making the move over here, too. Because looking good doesn't need to cost you a fortune, all right? 5-4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop.
Red light camera reported.
Come on, take that off, brother. This is a fucking podcast, brother. Stop with the fucking phone. Each month they send you a curated box of 2 to 3 items that are hand-picked to match the current season and your style. They've been helping men in fashion for over 15 years and ship to over 100,000 men every month. They know what they're doing. So if you don't, that's okay. 5-4 Club will help you build your wardrobe 1 month at a time. Why? Because when you look good, you smell good, you feel good, it's a fact of life. We're going to get you $120 worth of clothes for $60 a month. You can pause or cancel anytime. There's no commitments. And as a 5-4 Club member, you'll also receive 50% off items in their online shop and access to exclusive members-only items, free shipping, and size exchanges. Here's where the party starts. You ready? Go to 54club.com right now and enter promo code Joey, and they're going to give you 50% off your first month package, plus a free pair of sunglasses. Who's better than your Uncle Joey? Nobody. That's 50% off your first package at 5-4 Club, spelled FIVEFOUR, club.com, promo code Joey. 54club.com, promo code Joey. Go out there, dress like a fucking savage. You understand me? Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Number two, let me explain something to you. Do you know that depending on where you got your mortgage, you could save $20,000 or more? Did you know that? But 80% of people only get one mortgage offer, like I did. And if you just go to your bank, chances are they rip you off. That's why I didn't take the loan from them. LendingTree doesn't want that to happen. Here's the thing. The average LendingTree customer can save $20,000 over the life of their loan. That's the average. Half of their customers can save even more. Whether you're looking for a new mortgage, refinance, home equity loan, LendingTree is the only place where you get up to 5 real offers from America's top lenders, and you can compare side by side for free. And guess what? It only takes 3 minutes. It's like shopping for flights online. You're only shopping for the best mortgage offers for you. Rates always go up and down, but regardless of what's happening with the rates, you can always get the right offer for you with LendingTree.com. Are you sure you have the best deal right now? Find out much more. Save today. Go to LendingTree.com/church. That's right. Go to Listen. Take a chance. Columbus did. That's LendingTree.com/church. Again, LendingTree.com/church. I'm going to save you some money. You're going to be happy with the new house. I'm going to save some money. LendingTree LLC, NMLS 1136. Terms and conditions apply. But go to LendingTree.com/church. I want to thank my man, Eddie Ift.
Thank you,
for stopping in tonight. You bad motherfucker. I want to thank my man, Lee Syatt. Don't forget, bitches, St. Louis, get your shit together. I'm slinging dick Thursday night. Helium, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, too. But the party starts Thursday night. And then July 29th, I'm telling you, every time they send me those fucking numbers, there's less and less tickets. Don't fuck around. The Borgata, July 29th. There you have it. I love you, motherfuckers. We'll be back. I'll let you know tomorrow. All right. Stay black, Eddie Ift. EddieIf.com, my man Lee Syatt. Have a great fucking day. Stay black. Uncle Joey loves you.
Borgata still does it.